I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
News from the Middle East in two parts. The first part, Vladimir Putin. The Kremlin announces that Vladimir Putin will travel to the Middle East in these next hours to visit with Mohammed bin Salman and attend COP28. Also from the Middle East, one fleet around the supercarrier Dwight D. Eisenhower Nimitz class, along with very sophisticated Arleigh Burke destroyer air defense systems, contending with firing missiles and drones from the Houthis, the tribe that dominates Yemen. Two stories out of the Middle East. I welcome Gregory Copley, the editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs, to comment on the Houthis firing at commercial shipping in the Red Sea, a vital waterway that connects to the Suez Canal. And those drones and missiles, most all of them, were brought down thanks to the defensive mechanisms on board the USS Kearney. However, three did get through. This is an ongoing story. Gregory, very good evening to you. The Houthis firing at the U.S. Navy. Why? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, the Houthi situation is fairly complex. And we noticed that CENTCOM, for example, keeps saying, well, they're just a proxy for Iran, which is absolutely not the case. They are Shia, but they're not Iranian-type Shia. They do have some weapons from Iran, which are used in their war against Saudi Arabia and the UAE. But they are not also friends, really, with the Hamas Palestinians, although, once again, they've launched missiles in support, seemingly in support of the Hamas operations in the recent conflict. But they are very angry with the United States, because the United States spent the last few years supporting the Saudis and the UAE in bombing targets inside Yemen. So the Houthi are not too happy about that. They are pretty uncontrollable. Tehran certainly can't control them. They launched some attacks seemingly against commercial shipping, particularly in the Red Sea, not very successful, because these are very primitive weapons. They're easy to shoot down. The three missiles that did strike civilian ship targets were not at that stage under the protection of the U.S. Navy. So the missiles just hit the targets because they were not defended. When they came anywhere near the U.S. naval vessels, the U.S. Navy was able to very, very easily shoot down the rather low speed and very observable Houthi unmanned aerial vehicles and cruise missiles. So they were not difficult targets, but it certainly proves the point that the onboard systems in most of the, I would say, all U.S. naval warships at this stage can handle a lot of incoming traffic from drones and from cruise missiles and also from ballistic missiles. After all, the Navy did intercept at least one ballistic missile, I think, recently, as did the Israelis on a large-scale one with their Arrow 3. So the Houthis, the big impact of the Houthis, and this may be something which they liaised with the Iranians on or supported the Iranians on, it actually is building up the cost of sending ships through the Red Sea and Suez Canal, because the insurance rates for shipping go up dramatically because of these incidents. You remember the 1984 attacks by the Libyans who dropped three sea mines over the side of their mine layer in the Red Sea, and that stopped all commercial shipping through the Red Sea Suez Canal for some months until the insurance companies were happy that those mines had been swept and there weren't any more. So it can cause enormous damage by diverting shipping around the Cape of Good Hope instead of through the Suez Canal. And this will profoundly impact the economies of Saudi Arabia and Egypt in particular. So they're very strategically significant, but not really militarily significant, and certainly not part of a real part of the Gaza war, even though the Israelis are not taking any chances, obviously, in dealing with targets in Yemen, as is the United States.
Can we make any connection or separation between these events and the reported attacks on U.S. service personnel in Syria and Iraq by militias attached in some fashion to Baghdad and Iran? Are these the same kind of provocations?
Well, they're, I think, militarily more significant and far more likely to achieve some success than the attacks on shipping in the Red Sea. They won't affect the commerce as much, but they will definitely affect the U.S. thinking on deployment, and the U.S. will almost certainly increase its targeting in against those Iranian-controlled and some Syrian-controlled operations inside Syria and Iraq.
We go now to the Palestinians, Hamas Palestinians. Your report indicates that there are plans, intentionality, to move the Hamas fighters, the ones who surrender or escape in some fashion, to Turkish control. Where and how?
Well, it's a plan which has been worked upon between the Turkish and Qatari secret services and Hamas officials. And we've got really very significant intelligence sources giving us some details on that. They're taking some political action. They're moving between 200 and 250,000 Palestinians, not necessarily Palestinian or Hamas fighters, but they're moving them from the Gaza Strip to areas in southeast Turkey and into the Turkish-occupied areas of northern Cyprus. Now, this has a multifold effect. It reduces the number of mouths that the Hamas has to feed in the Gaza Strip, but it also moves a lot of Turkish-controlled Palestinians into areas where they can help Turkey politically. Turkey then plans to create a large humanitarian organization to look after these, quote, refugees, and putting them in the areas around Famagusta in northern occupied Cyprus, illegally occupied northern Cyprus. It will start to give an air of legitimacy to the Turkish control of that 37% of northern Cyprus, of Cyprus that is controlled from Ankara. Until this point, from 1974 until this point, after the Turkish invasion of Cyprus in 74, nobody has recognized the so-called Turkish Republic of Northern Cyprus, other than Ankara. By moving this population in there, and with this new, quote, humanitarian movement, Turkey is hoping that a lot of Muslim states will actually recognize the Turkish Republic of Northern Cyprus as a sovereign state. And that will go a long way to ensuring that that state is solidified and that the Turks, of course, will never leave. So that's very significant. And also by putting the Palestinians into the Kurdish areas of southeastern Turkey itself, they're looking at breaking up, if you like, the Kurdish population there, acting as a break on the Kurdish population, because the Kurdish population is very much against the Turkish leadership, whereas the Palestinian population will be very much dependent on the Ankara government, so they will support Ankara against the Kurds within Turkey and within northern Cyprus.
The logic of this strikes me as consistent with the information I've had over the years, Gregory, that Hamas is an outgrowth of the Muslim Brotherhood once upon a time. The Muslim Brothers, once they evacuated Egypt in the takeover by Sisi, I believe they sought and were accepted with refuge in Turkey, is my memory. They're also in Jordan. So the Turkish authorities, Erdogan, is sympathetic to the Muslim Brothers, hence the Hamas as well. But you're reporting that it's not the Hamas fighters who are underground that Turkey plans to move. It's the Palestinian people in Gaza. Is that who the plans are for?
That's correct. Now, there will almost certainly be Hamas people among them, and they will use in northern Cyprus, they will use that region for the establishment of training facilities to train their fighters there. Now, a number of extremist Islamist movements have been doing that since the 80s and 90s, but particularly the 90s during the Balkan wars. So what we've got now is that Ankara is controlling that northern Cyprus area and turning it into an area for money laundering, for Islamist terrorist monies, and also for training of terrorists. And this has been well underway. And in fact, the government in Turkey has been busy really forcing the Turkish Cypriots, the people who originally from Cyprus but spoke Turkish, out of the region. They want them gone because they want that area controlled completely by people who are loyal to Ankara. So the Turks have been moving in Anatolian Turks as well as other favored people and getting rid of the Cypriot Turks. A lot of the Turkish Cypriots themselves, when they leave the island, they go to London and they all move in to the areas occupied by Greek-speaking Cypriots. So when they're in London, the Greek and Turkish-speaking Cypriots are like brothers and they get along famously. One side's Orthodox Christian, one side's Muslim, of course, but they get along famously as Cypriots. So the whole pose of Ankara to occupy northern Cyprus to protect the Turkish Cypriots is farcical.
Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs. We're going to Moscow. I'm John Bashir.
There's a lot of pressure to wear the right clothes for every situation. But the clothes don't make the man. With Mack Weldon, you can build a wardrobe that looks polished in any setting and tells the world that you stay you wherever you go. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 25% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25. That's MACKWELDON.com, promo code MACK25.